Welcome to this week's podcast from the teaching team at Beacon Church. For more information about our church, please visit beaconchurch.com.au. We hope you enjoy the message.
Thanks, Beck. How are we this morning? Good, asleep. We filled the room, but we're still asleep. Nah, it's good to be here. Hey, last week of the financial year, the fiscal year. As a business person, it's just like, you get to June, you're like, halfway through the year, who's exhausted? Any of you? Who actually, maybe some of you done no work this year. You all look like, nah, I'm fine. I'm refreshed. I'm relaxed. I get to this time of the year and I must admit that I reflect on a whole bunch of things, like from church to life to relationships, and I start to have a bit of a peruse over what's happened in the year. And today I just want to bring a message of refreshing. Of resetting as you go into this next half of the year, because you can run pretty hard and then you can just keep on running and you get exhausted and you burn out and it's not great. I just saw a mate posted on social media just yesterday how he just spent 4 weeks in recovery because he had a mental burnout, and he's had two major mental burnouts by the age of 34. And I'm like, this is not okay. And I think at the end of the day, we can all be susceptible to burnout. And I suppose my message, I want to sort of set it up. Has anyone ever seen those shows like Hoarders? You know those shows, Hoarders? Where they go to a house and it's just full of junk. And there's a couple there in their 30s. Oh, we just want to see the floor again, you know? And there's this sort of moment of we just want to clear it out and somehow reset our lives. And the whole episode, you see them going through all the stuff. So do you need this? Do you need that? Does this spark joy? All sorts of things. And at the end of the episode, they're left with either an empty room to begin with, and then they've got all their stuff out on the lawn. They say, okay, what are you going to put back in? What are you going to bring back in to your house? Because you can't bring it all back in, but you can bring some of it in. What are the things most important to you? What are the things most important to you? And I think it's very easy to go on this year, continue on this year and just think, I'm just going to continue doing what I'm doing. But maybe this is a message for you that you need to hit reset and refresh. You need to leave some stuff behind, this first half behind, and enter into a new year with new faith. And I think last week I was really encouraged by what Tim had to say about waiting on the Lord and inquiring of the Lord. And apply that this week, actually, instead of rushing into your life decisions, but actually inquiring of the Lord and saying, God, what is it that you want me to do? Actually stop and ask God, what is it you want me to do? Tim led us to a passage of scripture in Isaiah 40, 28. It says this: have you not known, have you not heard, the Lord is an everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Beautiful scripture, but how do you do it? Like, anyone else hate waiting for stuff? Yeah, I hate waiting. I'm really fidgety. I hate it. I can't even wait in a waiting room at a hospital with Uncle Bruce for 5 minutes. I was with Beck the other day. Like, I just get really fidgety. Like, I'm sitting there and I'm just got to do stuff. I'm always just on the move. I find it really hard just to sit still. And Beck would, I'm sure, say absolutely as you sit still. And she's always saying, can you just sit still for a little bit longer? Just a little bit longer. Can you be an adult as, right? But waiting on God can be a little bit, it can be hard, because it's like while you're waiting, you're like, I'm waiting for a clear line from heaven. God, show me a sign kind of stuff. And how do I know if you're speaking to me or not? And today I just want to sort of, I suppose, just give some real practical ways in which we can enter into the next 6 months and just wait on God again, but trust in God, but in really practical ways, okay? And first and foremost, the number one thing I want to challenge our church on as we enter into this next 6 months is that we would once again place God as number one in our life. As number one in our life. Because who knows, we make really bad gods. Like, if I'm in control of my life and I'm the one making decisions and I'm in control, I make a really bad God. I'm going to make some really dumb decisions because it's going to be based on selfish ambition. And in fact, we talked about a few weeks ago the story of Jericho, the coming down to the walls of Jericho. And as we did that in the Legacy series, I was really blown away by how the Israelites were obedient to God to march around the walls of a city 7 days straight and then blow a horn, okay, for their enemies. And that would have been an embarrassing moment, but they were so sure that God was with them, the Holy Spirit was with them. They did it anyway. On the 7th day, the walls come crashing down. And in that moment, they overthrow this major city, this fortified walls, and they enter in, take this city, the first of the promised land, which is the, you know, into the land of Canaan. And shortly after that, the next chapter in Joshua 6, I want to get this passage of scripture up because I want to sort of go back to what happened in that moment. There's just, I think, something we can miss in this whole thing. And this is before the city walls come down. It says, and the city and all that is within it shall be devoted to the Lord for destruction. So God says, you've got to do the walking and then it's coming down and this is what's going to happen. He says, only Rahab the prostitute and all those who are with her in her house shall live. She was despised, well, she helped the spies. And then in verse 18, it says, but you keep yourselves from the things devoted to destruction, lest when you have devoted them, you take any of those devoted things and make the camp of Israel a thing for destruction and bring trouble upon them. In short, God says, hey, the city's coming down. When you go in there, it's going to be really tempting to take all the gold and silver. There's a lot of really precious and shiny things, okay? Kind of like the cave in Aladdin. You know that moment where don't touch anything in the cave in Aladdin, and you go, ooh, right? And Abu grabs the, you know, like it's just don't touch anything. It's going to be tempting, but don't touch anything. And they take the city. Everything happens as it seems. The Israelites are now in Canaan. They've destroyed Jericho. All around this city, all the nations around, all the cities around, they're freaking out because they're like, these people have God on their side. Like they didn't even pick up a sword. They blew some horns and walked and destroyed the city. So that's pretty amazing. They have God on their side, which has built this incredible, fear amongst their enemies. So no one's coming near them because they've got God on their side. However, I'm going to let you read this in your own time in Joshua 6. I want you to go and read this week, okay? One of the first things you can do in the next half of the year is read your Bible. One of the things you can do is actually pick up your Bible yourself and read it. But in chapter 6, what happens is a family go into Jericho and they see some things that they like. And they steal them and they hide them in their tent. They dig up a hole and put them aside. And the next city they're going to take on is a place called Ai. Great name for this current time, Ai. I don't know if it was the first artificial intelligence. Maybe we're really doing it again. I don't know. But Ai. So they go into this city and the spies scope out the second city. They say, look, it's an easy city to take. Send like 3,000 men. We're going to destroy it. It's not going to be a problem. We'll just take it down. And so the men go in prepared to destroy this city, and it says that 30 odd men get killed in a moment. 34 men, I believe it is, 34 as I go down in the scriptures here, they get chased away by these men of Ai and get completely overthrown and destroyed by this tiny little city. Okay, their reputation has now been destroyed amongst the people. Okay, they beat Jericho, but now little Ai has destroyed the Israelites. And can you imagine if you were the enemies of Israel, you go, if Ai can kill them, we need to get in there and kill them as well. And what happens is Joshua pleads with God in chapter 6, and he says, God, what are we going to do? Because now your name has been destroyed. Why have you let our men die? Why have you let our men, you know, go through this torture? And God comes back and says, hey, don't get all down on me. You've robbed me. You robbed me. You stole from the first city. And Joshua's like, what are you talking about? And he goes, those men, and points them out, this family that stole. They approach these men, and the men go, you're right, we did take some silver and gold, we did hide it. It's like, you did exactly the opposite of what God asked you to do, and now you're going to die. Pretty hectic. They end up dying because of this moment where they miss it. And I believe wholeheartedly the reason in that moment those guys took that gold and silver is they thought that if they didn't take charge, they were going to miss out on the things God had for them. They didn't have faith. They actually didn't have faith that maybe God was going to take them into the promised land and there were going to be more cities to come and there'll be more plunders to come, and they did the wrong thing. Their disobedience cost them their lives, but not only that, it cost the lives of the innocent. And as we go into this 6 months, I just want us to know, I just want us as a church to realize that following God really requires our obedience. And faith that's effective, like faith that's effective, is faith that's where we put God first and everything else comes second, third, fourth, fifth. As I said before, until we realize that God is in control, that God is God, until we place him right at the top, everything in our life will fall apart. You know, Solomon, one of the wisest men in the world, wrote this proverb. In Proverbs 19:21, he says, "Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails." Can I tell you, over the last few weeks, when your whole world just gets flipped on its head, you know, we had some plans. Life, you know, goes on. You got plans, you got ideas. But at the end of the day, the Lord's purpose prevails. And you actually have to get to a place. And this is where, as your pastor, I've got to in the last 2 weeks. It's been a lot of tears. I've got to a place of just surrender. God, I relinquish control. I can't do anything. You are in control. Do what only you can do. Do what only you can do. You're number one. It's so interesting when it came to AI and the story of Jericho, that city. People go, why does, you know, God want all the gold and silver for the temple? That's ridiculous. And you know, what's the big issue there? Here's the deal. If you actually read about the promised land, the Israelites end up conquering another 30 cities and God doesn't ask for anything. But he does ask for the first. He always asks for the first. He says, do you trust me enough to put me first? In every aspect of your life. He's like, you can enjoy your life. Go and enjoy the spoils of that other 30 cities. Go and do that. I just want you first. Because when you give me your first, you are showing me you have faith in me and I'm God of your life. But when you decide to go into your battles going, nah, I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to approach it my way. I am smarter than God. It ends up terribly bad. You know, there's a famous story in Genesis, the story of Cain and Abel, the first murder, right? And Cain and Abel in Genesis 4, chapter 4, verse 2, it says that now Abel was a keeper of the sheep and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought the firstborn, notice it's firstborn, of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So Cain was very angry and his face fell. And the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face fallen? The same words he says to Joshua when the people get killed in Ai. Why is your face down? You've done the wrong thing. He says this, the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry and why is your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it. God's saying, hey, Cain, I appreciate you bringing me something. It wasn't your first. You did this out of duty and not out of putting me first. And obviously Cain ends up getting so angry at Abel, goes and kills Abel. And does such an evil thing. But God's constantly, throughout the scripture, constantly calling us, going, hey, do you put me first? Do you actually put me first? If you put me first, mate, the spoils are there. The 30 cities are coming. And I think so many times in our life, we can forget to put God first. I can get caught up in doing a whole bunch of busy stuff, you know, whether it be work or with my business or whether it be family. I get so caught up in all this sort of stuff. But does God come first in my life? Do I genuinely trust God with everything that I have? As I said before, it's throughout the scripture, God says, put me first, put me first. In the book of Exodus, there's actually a moment where God says, I'm actually a jealous God. I want to be first. You need to put me first. And you might be thinking, well, it's all Old Testament. That's all Old Testament. New Testament's great. God loves me. It doesn't matter if I put him first or not. But I think if we look a little bit further, we'll discover it's actually not the truth. As we look a little bit further later on, I just want to read this to you. In Matthew 6:33, it says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seek first the kingdom of God. In other words, put God first. And he said this to them in Matthew 22:37-40. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. God's heart is forever. Just put me first. Just put me first. as you kind of go into July and you go into this next 6 months, I want to give you some real practical ways how to put God first. You've got to hit reset. You've got to hit reset in your life. It's kind of uncomfortable. You're like, does God really come first? Do I put God first, or do I put my kids' sport first? Do I put God first, or do I put my business first? Do I put this first? Do I put that first? I mean, there's so many things we can put first. And I want to challenge us to put God first. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. Proverbs 3:9-10. This is about wealth and first fruits. Once again, it says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. In other words, the first thing that comes in should go out into the things of God. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. I'm going to give you some practical things. How to put God first. When I get dry and I start to go, oh, where's God? Often I realize that I haven't actually been reading my Bible at all. Like, I've been picking up my Bible phone and looking at a scripture of the day maybe. Or I've been reading my Bible to write a preach for you guys. But for me personally, to actually take time and say, God, you're first, and I give you my first time, is he actually first, or he's in the rush? I just give him this minute or two in my car on the way to the next meeting. Is he first? Read your Bible. And I actually find if you're wanting to reset and you're trying to figure this out, pull out your old Bible, dust it off, pull out like a highlighter pen and just start drawing all over. It's cool. I was talking to Josiah, was mentioning earlier today that earlier this week he was just spending time in the Word of God, and it was like it came alive again, like this freshness. And that happens when you give God time. The thing is, God will speak to you. He will speak to you. It's clear as day. He will drop in your spirit stuff that you're like, how do I know that? How did I know what to say in that circumstance? How did I know how to speak hope into that place? How did I know that? I didn't, but God did. And he'll speak. He wants to speak to you. And he'll speak to you through his word. Second, make prayer part of your day, every day. First. I'm going to say this. As a teenager, I hated this, right? My dad prayed for our family every day. And what I mean by that is before we got to the school bus, he'd go, all right, everyone, and he'd drag everyone into a huddle. Oh, Dad. Oh, what are you doing at school today, Az? What are you doing at school today? And you go through and you're like, oh, I don't know. Who cares? I'm missing the bus. Nah, we're praying. We're running late, Dad. We're going to miss the bus. Well, you can walk. Oh, you know, so. But he would pray every day without fail. Without fail. Do I regret the prayers of my father? Absolutely not. He prayed for me and my family, my mum before she went to work, for him before he went to work. Most days it was a very generic prayer. Add a couple little side notes, but he prayed every day. That will refresh you. Dads, mums, pray with your kids. Pray with your kids. Put it first. Oh, but what if my kid thinks I'm an idiot? It doesn't matter. You're the parent. They'll get over it. And they will never, ever regret it. Because God will show up in those moments. I remember miracles, little miracles that would happen where Dad would pray for certain things and then a miracle would happen. And the next day, oh, what happened yesterday? Oh, it happened. Oh, great. Praise the Lord. You know, like it was very... So why are we so embarrassed with our own kids, with our faith, with our spouse? How about we open our mouths again and talk to God and pray? Put him first. Read your Bible. I'm going to say this, and this might sound harsh, but make coming to church a priority. Make it a priority. You know, at school, my parents never let me work on a Sunday before 11:30. Now, it sounds pretty harsh because I really wanted that cash money. I wanted to work at my Sizzler job. I wanted to work there. I'm making money. It's triple time on Sunday or whatever, you know, double time, whatever. And my parents say, Aaron, their real name, Aaron, serious conversation, you're not going to work before 11:30. Tell your boss you're not going to work before 11:30. But what if he thinks I'm an idiot, religious freak? Just tell him. Just say, you're more than happy to work after 11:30. So most times, most weeks, I would rock up at church in a pink uniform looking like a candy cane, my Sizzler outfit, with an apron that was longer. It looked like I was wearing a dress, you know. But as soon as church finished, man, I'm getting in the car, the Datsun 120Y, and flying off to church with mom and dad. Like, oh, I'm going to run late and I clock in and work with my split shift. Do I ever regret that? No. Because at the end of the day, my parents taught me how to put God first. Don't expect your kids to be in church if you don't put him first. Like, honestly, why would they bother if you put church as an option on a list of things you could do on the weekend? Why on earth down the track will they ever decide this is something that's important? Why? You know, there's a famous proverb that says, train up a child in the way they should go and they will not depart from it. Here I am. There were times where I walked away from God. I walked away from God for about 2.5 years. Hated the church, hated everything about it. But deep down in my spirit, I knew that God was there. And if I put him first, instead of making myself God, things are going to be a lot better for me. Hebrews 10, 23, 25 says this, like Beck mentioned it before, don't despise gathering with other believers. It will build your faith. It says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together. As it is a habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Get to church. Put God first. The reality is when you actually put him first, he does add everything else to it. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all those things get added anyway. But when we decide we're God and we're going to figure it out, my gosh, the mess is really messy. I am a terrible God. I was at a church years ago. They used to talk about talent, time, and treasure. Put them all first when it comes to God. Your talents, if you've got a gifting, first and foremost, use it in church. Use your talents for the glory of God. If you're a muso, use it at church. If you're a barista, use it at church. If you've got an ability, any kind of ability on tech, use it at church. Why? Because you're saying, I give you the first of the talent you've given me. That's my first fruits. You bless the rest. I actually had this guy on the Gold Coast who was talking to me. He was getting gigs all over Brisbane. And he was really torn because he was having to do Sunday shifts or Sunday gigs. And I said to him, mate, I reckon if you sacrifice your Sunday, God will multiply your gigs. Why? Because that's what he does. If you actually make a faith step to put him first, watch what he does in your life. You watch it. And he was like, "Are you?" And he was really torn by that because he was like, man, you don't understand. These are the best paid gigs. And I said, just, hey, up to you. You can just take it or not. Test it. And he did. And his gigs multiplied left, right, and center. He was blessed beyond belief with his gigs on Saturday nights instead. And he never had to work those Sunday shifts. But here's the deal. With him even now, I've noticed that he's slipped back into his old ways. He's now doing Sunday gigs again, right? Because it's like, oh, I'm God again. And we could all slip into that. We could all slip into that. This is the encouragement as we go into the new part of the year. Let's reset. Let's refresh. Let's put God first, and let's believe that God is trustworthy. When we put him first, he'll bless the rest, okay? It's a bit hard to hear. Maybe you need to reset a bunch of things. Maybe God is actually fifth on the list in your family. Maybe he's number 10. Maybe he doesn't even show up in your life. He's just a little box like Tim talked about on Sunday. You occasionally go for a social club. Maybe. Get him back up the top. And let's see what God does in your life, every one of your lives this year. I'm going to pray. Let's pray. God, I thank you for today. I thank you it's really simple that you just ask us to put you first and the rest we can rely on you. We can just trust in you, God, that you're for us and not against us. You know, the first thing you can do putting God first is actually getting right with God and saying, God, you haven't been first in my life in a very long time. I'm sorry. It's as simple as saying, God, would you forgive me? Give me a fresh start. Would you wash me clean? From this moment forward, I put you first. And across this room, I reckon there's probably a lot of us that have probably missed that moment for a long time. And if you want me to pray for you, go, yeah, that's me. I just want to put God first in this next period of my life. I want to come back to you, God. Just raise your hands. I just want to pray for you that God will just give, yep, hands all over the place. Yeah, on the right. Yeah, it's awesome. At the back there. Beautiful on the side here, mate. That's beautiful. God, I thank you. These stirring hearts today. It's a bit of a convicting message, but God, we know that we make terrible gods. So may we put you back at first in our lives And God, we pray right now that you would show up and show off, God, that you would bring about all the other things that are pressure points in our lives because of the faith we put in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. We pray the message has inspired you. To connect with us further, visit beaconchurch.com.au.